Thank you, Brother Gary, and thank you for those songs. Miss Kathy, it was very lovely. And Brother Dave, always good to get to hear you share a song. Appreciate Brother Gary today, who's filling in. Brother Danny's got some sickness in his family. And we got some good people to fill in here at Sandy Point Church. A couple of weeks ago, somebody asked me if I knew the Moores. I said, I sure do. They want to know about it. I said, as fine a people as you'll find. We have some of the finest people, Brother David, on the face of this earth at Sandy Point Church. And I am privileged to be your pastor and to be among people like you are. Thank you for being who you are. And now it is my privilege to share the Word of God with you here this morning. We'll be reading from the Gospel of John chapter 2. John in chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. The Word of God reads, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said to them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said." Wow. I hope we can believe the Scripture today and the word that Jesus has said unto us. Verse 21 for our text. "But he spake of the temple of his body." And our thought today is that this temple will do until we receive the prize. Are you happy with who you are today? This temple that we've been given, it'll do, it'll suffice until we receive the prize. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this time that we could be together with God's people. Thank you for each and every one that's gathered, and for those who are watching by Facebook. Bless them too, Lord. We pray that you would give us ears to hear the Word of God. I pray the Holy Spirit take this Word and bring it into our hearts, Lord, that it might be food for the souls of God's people. It might encourage us, dear Lord. And for those who have not yet come to faith, that it might cause them to come to you today, dear Lord, through repentance and faith. Lord, I pray that you would walk among us here today. Be blessed in our word that we try to share. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a pretty typical image of what we think and have supposed that Jesus really looked like, but we don't really have a clue. There were no iPhones or cameras back in his day, and there are many different images and history of the church, and most of them are sort of in that vein there. And we have gotten accustomed to that picture there, but it's not necessarily accurate. Did you know that? I read a thing this week. It says, God is not who you think He is. He is who He says He is in His Word. Did you know that? Sometimes we get ideals and think about, well, what did Jesus look like? And these images, nothing wrong with them in their place, but we don't worship images. Amen? We think this may be somewhat accurate of what our Lord looked like, but we don't really know. Don't really know. What we do know, according to the Bible, that the record of the Holy Scriptures, and that's what we got to go by, God is who He says He is in His Word, not necessarily who we think He is. What do we know about Jesus? Well, the Scripture is kind of quiet about His physical appearance. There seems to be no outstanding physical characteristics about the man Jesus, who is the Lord of all glory. He was unique in that He was man, He was God. Many people have been mixed up with that sometimes, but He was fully man, fully made human. He had a body, a temple that He talked about. And I believe that Jesus knew that when this temple He had to lay down, that He would receive His glorified temple and restored into the glory that He had with the Father before the foundation of the world. Now, a great deal of people are not happy with their temple, the body that God has given. A lot of people not happy with their lives. But Jesus seems to be saying here to the religious leaders here, you know, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. I look forward to the day of the prize, you know, and this body that God has chosen to give me will suffice until then. The image of Jesus, no outstanding. What we do know about Jesus is that He was born in a stable. You know, people, they used to say, if you leave a door open, was you born in a barn? You remember that? Well, our Lord was born in what would be considered a barn. It was a stable, maybe a cave. It's what they use. They didn't build the big barns like we do nowadays. But that's where He was born, you know, unto poor parents. Poor parents. When they went to dedicate our Lord, you know, they used the doves and the turtle doves and the pigeons, which was for poor people, couldn't afford the lamb. Jesus said this in His ministry. You know, a lot of people wanted to line up and follow Jesus, the bandwagon. When things were going good, a lot of people wanted to be a part of it. That's why when we, even today, we see movement of church growth somewhere, something going, everybody wants to be a part of it. That's called the bandwagon effect. Everybody wants to be on the winning team. Action going on. We want to go. See, we want to be a part of that. But the staying with it, you know, through the hard times, the thin times, the tough times, a lot of people fade away. Long as there's excitement and something going on in action, they will flog to it. It was that way when Jesus ministered. There were people who come, hey, sign me up, man, I like this. I like the action. I like all the miracles, the healing and the feeding of the thousands, 5,000, 4,000, all these things. Raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, and you know, all these miracles. People said, sure, I want to be a part of that. Sign me up. The one man jumped up. He's ready. I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to go with you. Jesus said, understand what you're getting into. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Didn't own a home. So Jesus lived in object poverty. That's how He lived. He was a poor man, you know, yet He had riches untold in heaven. Now, we may live in poverty. We may not have the best of health. We may not be who we want to be. But as Christians, you need to understand that the prize is coming. That you have riches untold. You become a millionaire when you got saved. And we will have the prize possession one of these days. He became poor for us. Jesus had all the glory of heaven, but he was with the Father before the foundation of the world, and he took on a mission to become poor for our sake. Now, he was willing to do that for our sake, knowing that this will do. What about Jesus? You know, the first king of Israel was a man by the name of Saul, and he satisfied the hunger of the people in that he was a big black guy that they could be proud of. They wanted a king to go before them and to war to lead the people, and nothing necessarily wrong with wanting a king, but the motives were not genuine. The motive was so we can be like the other peoples of the world. Oh, that's a killer. Broke Samuel's heart, and God said, Samuel, don't take it personally. They've not rejected you, but they've rejected me. But Saul, initially, he had some humility about him, and initially he was anointed, and the people were very proud of him because he was a big, tall, strong-looking guy, and initially it looked like maybe he had some leadership skills. He was somebody that the people could follow, but he had a very flawed character. And he was a failure almost from the very beginning because he had his undoing was something really simple, and that was he just would not obey God. You know, God would tell him through Samuel what to do, and he wouldn't do it. If you would just obey me, you know, but he wouldn't do it. And he, although he had the physical appearance of being a champion, of a leader of God's people, his character was flawed, and he became a utter failure, died in disgrace. Such a sad story about Saul, how he went down in the latter years of his life. The Spirit of God departed from him, and he lived a miserable life. He failed miserably. Well, the Bible tells us that the Jews actually rejected our Lord because he didn't really meet their eye of what they thought the Messiah should look like. Remember, God is not necessarily what we think he is. He is what he says he is in his word. The prophet Isaiah, hundreds of years before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, foresaw the Lord's Christ and how that God's people would reject him, how he, you know, they just didn't look upon him as filling the bill of being the Messiah. What were they looking for? The Son of David. Somebody who will lead us and conquer the Romans and get us out of this oppression. Isaiah. Listen, Isaiah 53. It's only 12 verses. I'll read it. Bear with me. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The prophet says he's not going to meet the eye of expectation upon the Jewish people. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. The lowly Jesus, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes we are healed. With the suffering of Christ, we are healed. With the stripes that beat upon it, His death on the cross is what heals us, takes away the sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The lowly Jesus bare the sins of the world upon him when he died on the cross. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Inasmuch that the Bible says that Pilate marveled. Ain't you going to defend yourself? Pilate marveled. He wouldn't say nothing. Thou sayest, are you a king? Thou sayest. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He shall bear their iniquities. If you are just in the Lord today, it's because of what he has done. Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul. That's what Jesus does. Poured out every ounce of energy he had. Poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus poured out his soul. Now we have a picture of Jesus on the cross up there somewhere. And the Bible says, when the nation shall, we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. In other words, the physical attributes of the Messiah, the Son of God, didn't really fit the expectations of man. Now, with the exception of one day, on Palm Sunday, as Jesus comes to Jerusalem to die, not to establish the kingdom, but to die, and this was ordered by God, when all the people praised him and chanted, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Son of David, you know, Hosanna, save, we pray." And there, that's an ancient chant and prayer. They're saying, "Save us, we pray." This was the day that Jesus was anointed publicly, the Messiah to the world. But this was ordered from God. And the Pharisees said to Jesus, "You need to stop this. People are praising you." And he said, if they would hold their peace, the rocks would immediately cry out. This was the day that Jesus was recognized as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And for that one day, the people bought in on it. And they were happy. And they were saying, "Save, we pray." Hosanna, that means save us, we pray. We're pleading for you to save us. Take us as God's people and be our Redeemer. Be our Savior for a day. But it wasn't lasting. It wasn't lasting. Public opinion began to swiftly change, and the leadership of Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders, began to draw doubt in the mind of the people. Things like, well, do you really think he's like King David? Do you think he fits the bill of King David, who we know was a warrior? David was a warrior king, skilled at warfare. Slayed a lot of people, shed a lot of blood, and for that reason he was not able to build the great temple. But David was a warrior, and then they would say things like, now, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey? Really? Does that sound like the son of David? Did David, wouldn't he be riding on a big white horse? Wouldn't he have a big sword? You know, wouldn't he have some armies? Wouldn't he show some strength and some force? You know, and you are expecting this guy to save you from Rome? Is this the ideal of your Savior? He was properly praised on that one day, and that was God ordered. And they decided during that week of time that, well, maybe he doesn't really look like what we think that the Messiah should look like. Well, what's that like? I'm sure they had a lot of help and a lot of coaching, a lot of suggestions. What would the Messiah look like? Well, one thing, we don't think he'd be riding on a little donkey humbly. For one thing, we believe he'd have a big sword on his side, and he will when he comes again. But the first covenant, he came in humility as a suffering servant. And they decided that he didn't look like the Messiah. And so Isaiah had already prophesied, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So as the week wears on, the people, you know, they sort of get what we call today buyer's remorse. They were happy on Palm Sunday, and everybody loved everybody, and we're proclaiming him to be the Messiah. But how's he going to do that? And then they sort of turned on Jesus, and they decided that we don't think he looks like what we think he ought to look like. We don't think that's how the Messiah is going to come. How is this guy going to deliver us riding on a donkey? It ain't. And so they decided that he is not the Messiah. And so he was despised and rejected. So after proclaiming him the Messiah, they said, no, we don't think so. And they had a lot of help. They had some strong, powerful people pushing the issue. And so he becomes the man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and they hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They despised him. Now, when Jesus is crucified, they didn't see anything that looked like a Messiah or a Savior until then. What did Jesus look like physically? We don't know. We use those pictures, nothing wrong with them. We can just pretty well say, because the Bible is silent about it, that he was pretty much what a normal Jewish young man who grew up, you know, who disciplined himself. When he was 12 years old, he was found in the temple, you know, learning with the scholars about the Word of God. We know that he prayed, fasted, disciplined his body. We know that he was well acquainted with the Scripture. And we know that he suffered a great deal for us on the cross. We see the peaceful pictures of Jesus, you know, that images of the movie they had back years ago was pretty brutal. We got a little taste of what it might look like, but Jesus, I believe, was able, and he didn't complain about not being another Saul and Samson and a great mighty man and physical stature and all these things. But he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it back again. Jesus knew that the end of this life that there awaited him again, the glorified body. And I'm going to tell you something. If we can have that in our hearts and minds, you know, the thing about people today is so many people are not happy with who they are. They're not happy about who they want to be like somebody else. You know, we place movie stars and athletes and up high, and we want to be like them. But the fact is, everybody can't be like them. God has given us a body as it, what? Pleased Him. Some people are gifted athletically. Some people have great talents and to do these things. But whoever we are, whatever your temple that God has given you, listen, it'll do until we get the prize. It'll do until we receive the glorified body in Jesus Christ. The Jews, okay, Jesus, you are the Son of David, save us, we pray. And then Friday before Pontius Pilate, you know, the Bible says that Pilate marched Jesus out before the people. He carried him into the judgment hall, interviewed him, bring him out, come him out, and he did some interviews with him different times, maybe three times. But anyhow, in the Gospel of John, it says that he brings Jesus out for all the people to see. And this is after they had mocked him and had the purple robe upon him, the crown of thorns. Behold the man. Isaiah said, we didn't see him. No! Away with him. Crucify him. And then later, Pilate brings him back out and he says unto the people, behold your king. The charge is, he said he was a king. Behold your king. They didn't want to look upon him too much, you know. He's not our king. He's not our king. The chief priest said, we have no king but Caesar. What shall I do with your king then? What do you want me to do with your king? Shall I crucify your king? Let him be crucified, they said. You know, we don't see anything in this guy that we desire. We do not want his help. A lot of people don't want Jesus' help today, but they change their mind when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us. Amen? Jesus is not coming back looking like that picture that we had. I can almost assure you that he's not going to look like that. So, you need to get that image out of your mind when you think about Jesus coming back. He's not coming back to be crucified again either. He's not coming back to be mocked. But the Bible says, Jesus' word said, and then shall there appear the sign of the Son of Man from heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Not just glory, but great glory. Jesus is coming back with great glory. Now, he lived his life here and died on the cross. He is just pretty much a typical young man. They called him the carpenter from Nazareth. The Nazarene. The guy from, you know, the guy that's a carpenter who's taken up preaching and doing healing ministries and doing all these things. The young carpenter from Nazareth. Oh, who rode in on a little donkey. He will not be riding a donkey when he comes back. What does he look like? Well, we don't know for sure. We do know that the Bible tells us, hey, he's not necessarily what we think he is like, but he's what he says he is in his word. What's his word say? Well, John says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God before the world knoweth us not. Because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to see him as he is. The suspense will be taken away, and it's going to be a glorious thing to see. I'm going to tell you. And listen, not only are we going to see him as he is, but we are going to be like him. Like him. So that's got to help us in the sufferings of this world. Brother Orville's going through a great deal of pain with back, and many of you are. But listen, when we see Jesus, we're going to be like him. There'll be no more trips to the doctor. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. What'll it be like? I don't know. But it'll be like him when we see him. The book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 20. It says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be looking up. The world's getting in a terrible shape. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? We use this at a lot of funerals at the graveside. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working thereby where is he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. It'll be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Well, how do you know that, preacher? It says it in the Word of God. But for the Christian, God has given you just a little bit of taste of what it's going to be like. Paul says in Ephesians 2 and 13 and 14, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom afterwards that you believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And what's that? Which is the earnest of our inheritance. You know what that means? The down payment. God has given you just a little bit of something to give you what? The assurance of your salvation. To give you something inside of you that brings you joy when there is no joy and the peace. The earnest of the inheritance until. See, that's why we can get by. That's why we can make it. During some of the bleakest hours of World War II in London, England, when they were being incinerated by the Nazi bombs, the whole city at night, the night flyers from Germany, bombers would obliterate the city. They'd go into shelters, come back out of rubble to see a city destroyed and burning fires. They used incinerator bombs. It was awful. It was a hard time for the British people. Winston Churchill, the little bulldog, was always trying to tell the people, we can make it. We can make it. It said that one day after one of the great bombings and the Prime Minister come, the people are out there digging through what used to be their homes. And he tries to encourage the people and he says, hey, We can make it. We can take this. We can make it. We're going to get through this. We can make it. And it said that a little English woman climbed up and said, no, we can't make it. You know, she was almost ready to despair. No, sir, we can't make it. But I want to tell you, sometimes we feel like that, that no, we can't make it. But I'm here to tell you that you can make it. This temple will do until we receive the prize. If you know the prize is coming, you can make it to the finish line. We want to finish, right? We want to finish good and well, for the Lord is surely coming. We can make it. The book of Romans, one last scripture. We're soon going to close. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16, 17, and 18. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, the down payment, the earnest of the Spirit that God has given you. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. The prize is coming. And then St. Paul, and Paul is a man who endured a lot. Stonings, beaten, jailed, and eventually probably beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. But anyhow, he says, for I reckon, he says, I've thought, I've made the reckoning, I have reckoned that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listen, just a few more days here, and we'll go on to receive the prize. What is that? I'm not exactly sure, but I know one thing. When we see Him, we'll be like Him. It's going to be better than you can ever imagine. A glorified body like unto Jesus Christ. This life, you know, we may not be always happy. Some people go through some terrible things and sufferings in the walks of this life. You know, the Bible says that time and chance happen to them all. We don't understand all the things. Job didn't understand why things turned on him. And sometimes we feel like that, but I'm here to tell you that this life will do until we get the prize. It'll do. Jesus, he seemed to be saying, hey, the life that I have now, the body that I have, the sufferings that I have to do, it'll do because I know what the prize is coming. Till we receive the prize, it'll do. This temple, it will get sick, it will get old, and it will die unless Jesus comes for us before that time. But it'll do just fine. We don't have to be like somebody else. God has given us a body as it pleased Him. God knows what He's doing. Be happy with who you are, yourself. If you're saved today, you have something to praise God about. You're a millionaire in spirit. You have riches untold that await us, and a body which will be like Christ when He appears. We're going to be like that. You know, in the meantime, you know, we don't need to be trying to be like other people and movie stars and athletes, and which none of us are going to be great athletes. You know, the odds of that are very slim. Be conformed to the image of Jesus until He calls for us. Folks, I wish I could take away all your pains, all your sorrows. But I'm telling you today that the temple that God has given us, it'll do till He comes for us, and then we'll receive the prize possession, you know, the glorified body in Christ Jesus. What a day that will be. Let's pray. Brother Gary, you can get a song. Father God,